Hey friend, welcome to the Good Gets Better podcast. I'm your host, Amber Vreeland, and on today's episode, we are going to be doing a part two to moments where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament, and I'm so excited to share some more of my research with you and to share some of the research actually that you have found, because I had some comments sharing moments in the Old Testament that I didn't even know about, and I'm so stoked for you to hear them and to hear what you think about them. And if you haven't already listened to part one of this topic, definitely go check it out. Some of the most convincing moments, in my opinion, are in that episode, so definitely take a listen. But before we get into it today, let's take a second and pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much for another day. Lord, we thank you for being a part of our lives and for hearing our prayers. And Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know everything that we love and everything that we struggle with. And it's so cool to see how many battles you help us to overcome. And even though it's hard to be in the midst of a battle, Lord, it's so much easier with you by our side. No matter what we face, you are our peace, and you comfort us regardless of the storm that is around us. Lord, just fill us with peace and joy today, and open up our hearts, our eyes, and our minds to everything that you're capable of doing. Remind us of just how glorious you are, that you are able to do far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Build our faith and help us to learn even more about you today. We love you and we give this week to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get into all of the moments that I have to share with you, I just want to start off by giving a disclaimer because obviously, I'm not Jesus, I'm not God, so this is what I believe is Jesus showing up in the Old Testament, but of course, maybe some of them are actually an angel. Let me know your thoughts. I love to hear it. And with that, let's get into some of the things that I've learned since part one of Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. The first thing that I've learned is that there's actually a word for moments where Jesus appears before he was physically born on earth. And the word for it is a Christonophy, which is so wild. Like, I had no idea that there was a word to describe that, which means that other people have researched this and theologians have been interested in this possibility as well. It makes me feel a lot less like crazy, I guess. And it also makes this seem even more like a real possibility, which is super cool. So the exact definition of a Christonophy is any time that Jesus shows up in a visible manifestation or appearance before his human incarnation. And another thing that I suspected in part one was that when a scripture was referring to the angel of the Lord or the angel of God, it seemed that that was actually referring to Jesus at the time. But there was just not really a better word for it or description because people didn't know that God had a son at that point. Well, there are actually some theologians that have studied those moments, and they believe as well that every visit of the angel of the Lord or the angel of God were a Christonophy. So the Hebrew word for angel is malach, which means messenger. It appears 213 times in the Old Testament and can refer to actual angels, but it can also refer to men. Anybody who is a messenger for God can be referred to as an angel. which is very interesting. I had no idea that that's what the word angel meant in Hebrew. But don't get that confused with an angel of the Lord, because an angel of the Lord is referencing one of God's angels speaking. But usually whenever we read the angel of the Lord, it is followed by words that seem like they're coming straight from God. And overall, it seems like a Christonophy, like Jesus was there instead. Ultimately, any being can be a messenger of God, especially the Son of God. Another thing that I've realized is that angels don't accept praise, worship, offerings, or sacrifices. So anytime that we read of an angel accepting a sacrifice from a human or accepting praise from them, it has to be God, because in this scripture that I'm about to share with you, it describes how an actual angel of God reacts when someone tries to praise them or give them glory. So in Revelation 22, verse 8 through 9, it says, "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.'" So that angel is basically being like, "Don't worship me, worship God. I'm basically like similar to you in the way of I'm just God's servant, okay? Don't worship me." But what I find really funny about that is a lot of the moments that I reference in part one of Jesus showing up in the Old Testament, there are offerings being given to the angel of the Lord. And that's just further evidence that it couldn't have been an actual angel. Because if it were an angel accepting an offering or any praise that's supposed to be for the Lord, then they would be directly disobeying him. So the first moment that I'm going to be talking about today is when God told Moses that he was going to send an angel before him to guide him, and that God's name was in the angel. So in Exodus 23, verse 20 through 22, it says, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you." I don't know if you caught that, but this is God speaking to Moses. And God says to him that his name is in the angel that he's sending. But no angel can bear God's name, because the name of God represents his nature, will, and character. A random angel can't bear God's name. Only God himself can. So it had to have been Jesus that he was sending to help Moses, because Jesus is the Son of God. So it would make sense that Jesus would bear his name. And it also says in John 17, verse 7, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world." And that's Jesus speaking. So Jesus is saying that he has manifested God's name, which is basically the same thing as saying that Jesus was bearing God's name and making it known to the people. Then as we continue in Exodus 23, in verse 25, God is still speaking to Moses when he says, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water." It wouldn't make any sense for God to be referring to himself in third person, unless God is talking about Jesus. So the angel of God that God is sending to help Moses and telling Moses to worship had to be Jesus, because angels don't have the power to bless people. God uses angels to help carry out his blessings. And then we see Jesus visiting Hagar. So in Genesis 16, verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur." And in this chapter, Hagar is running away from Sarah and Abraham because Hagar successfully had a child, and Sarah had been wanting to have a child for so long and got super jealous of Hagar, and the Lord meets Hagar and tells her to go back to Abraham and Sarah because he has a plan to bless her with many descendants. So in Genesis 16, verse 10, it says, "The angel of the Lord said, 'I will give you more descendants than you can count.'" But what's really interesting about that is no angel has the authority to give someone many descendants. Only God has that authority. But that angel of the Lord was talking about themselves giving that to Hagar, which isn't even a possibility. So it had to have been Jesus. And then in Genesis 16, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord, who had spoken to her. She said, 'You are the God who sees me.' She also said, 'Have I truly seen the one who sees me?' So that well was named Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me." Okay, so that basically clarifies who it was that was speaking to Hagar. Because in one verse it says it's the angel of the Lord, but here it says that it was the Lord who spoke to her. And she said that, "You are the God who sees me." And it wouldn't make any sense for her to refer to the angel as God. And Jesus also appears to Joshua. And this is actually an example that I didn't find on my own. One of you found it and commented it, and then now I'm sharing it because it's so good. So in Joshua 5, verse 13 through 15, it says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." And in the King James Version of that passage, it says that Joshua worshipped him when he fell face down to the ground, but the newer translations took that out. So Joshua recognized that the man standing in front of him was holy and worthy to be praised. And Joshua immediately was like, "I'm your servant, how can I help you?" That type of thing happens whenever you encounter Jesus, whenever you encounter God. And this man doesn't tell Joshua to stop praising him. He accepts Joshua's praise, and he tells Joshua that where he's standing is holy ground. So it couldn't have been an angel. And if this were actually a man and not Jesus or just some random guy, then that guy could really use some humility. But no, I think this is Jesus, and it totally makes sense for it to be holy ground. And on top of that, this man is referring to himself as the commander of the Lord's army. Well, the Lord's army is literally the Lord's army. So it wouldn't make sense for anybody else to be commander of the Lord's army except for the Lord. So Jesus would be the commander of the Lord's army because the angels all obey what God tells them to do. The Lord is the one who tells them what he's asking them to do, and then they go out and follow through on that. And that passage is at the very end of Joshua chapter 5. And as soon as you flip the chapter to chapter 6, it is recorded that the Lord is having a conversation with Joshua. However, it's not described how the conversation took place or how the Lord met Joshua and spoke to him. So it makes so much sense that the commander of the Lord's army is the same person speaking to Joshua at the beginning of chapter 6, which means that the commander of the Lord's army is the Lord. And finally, another interesting fact to point out about the passage is how the man says that where they are standing is holy ground. Well, the same thing happens to Moses with the burning bush. So the Lord appears in this burning bush to Moses and tells Moses that where he's standing is holy ground. Well, as I spoke about in part one, I believe that was also a Christonophy. I believe that was Jesus speaking to Moses from within the bush, and we're seeing a direct parallel to that here with Joshua, without the fire this time. Another moment where I believe Jesus shows up in the Old Testament is when Jesus stops Abraham from sacrificing his son Isaac. So this passage is very mind-blowing to me because I literally read this passage in one of my previous episodes just a few weeks ago. Like, it was not long ago at all. And I didn't see anything suspicious about it. I didn't catch anything like a possibility of Jesus speaking or being involved in it. And all of a sudden, as I'm rereading it, I notice that the one who speaks to Abraham on behalf of the Lord is the angel of God. So, yeah, it's so funny how you can read a scripture many times and then the Lord reveals something new to you basically every single time. That just goes to show how important and refreshing it is to read scripture and how important it is to keep reading the Bible, even if you've read the whole thing through, because you're going to find new things. That's how God designed it. So in Genesis 22, verse 11 through 18, it says, "But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham!' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.'" So just a quick little mention, the fact that this is the angel of the Lord, but he tells Abraham from heaven that he hasn't withheld from him his only son, which doesn't make sense because clearly this is God speaking, saying that Abraham hasn't withheld from God his only son. So Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Isn't that so wild? Like, that's so evidently God talking to Abraham. But it's the angel of the Lord. And this angel of the Lord is telling Abraham that he's going to bless him and provide for him, and that Abraham hasn't withheld his son from him, which that couldn't have been an angel. That had to have been the Lord. And it even said, like, the Lord says. Isn't that so cool? Like, that's so cool. Clearly it was Jesus, right? That's the only thing that makes sense to me, honestly. And the last moment that I'm going to be talking about today is when Jesus visits Jacob. So, in Genesis 31, verse 11 through 13, it says, "The angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob.' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land.'" So again, it says that it's the angel of God speaking, but that angel is speaking with the authority that only God has, saying that he is the God of Bethel. Well, no angel is the God of anywhere. They are servants of God. And also saying that Jacob made a vow to him. Well, Jacob made a vow to God, not to an angel. So that clearly had to have been Jesus. And it also makes sense because this was in a dream. So it was like the Son of God was appearing to Jacob in a dream. Anyway, I think that it's possible that Jesus shows up to people in the Old Testament in more of a glorified angelic form. But at the same time, an angel is defined as a messenger of God, and Jesus is definitely a messenger of God because he's the Son of God. So, yeah. Never once in my entire life did I think that Jesus showed up in the Old Testament before he was physically born on earth. But all of these scriptures that I've been reading in the Old Testament and all this research I've been doing has really just boggled my mind and stretched my imagination to the idea and possibility of this. And it's really cool because it just goes to show that God is so capable and Jesus is so capable because Jesus is fully God as well as fully human. So he can do anything that he wants to. By all means, if he wanted to show up before he was born in the Old Testament, then why not? Literally. That was all of my examples for this episode. I might do a part three to this sometime because I did find some more than just the ones that I shared today. But for the most part, I shared all the ones that I found to be the most convincing. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that you've enjoyed it and learned some new things. And I would super appreciate it if you rated this podcast and make sure to follow so you can stay up to date for whenever a new episode drops. I'll chat with you again next Monday, and make sure to let me know in the comments what you thought of these moments in scripture. I hope you have an awesome rest of your week. And just remember, when you focus on the good, and when you focus on God, the good gets better.